You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast, hosted today by Andrew Chamberlain, a guest host. I am excited to have Chris Chambers with us today to explain and to share a little bit about his firm and his life and his practice. So Chris, let's start out with a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are and about your family and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, thanks for hosting. And the other thing I did want to mention before answering that question is that you are going to join us at the Winning Edge podcast as a co-host moving forward. And so I know we have Tommy Primo is going to be joining us here shortly. I appreciate your willingness to do this and look forward to your extra insight that you'll be adding to the podcast.
Looking forward to it.
Now, the question was, who am I?
Who are you,
yes,
Chris?
Absolutely. So, Chris Chambers. I am married to Stephanie Chambers. We have three children. McKenna, she is in sixth grade now. We have Seth, and he is in first grade. And then we have Nora, who is 16 months old. So that is our family. And Stephanie grew up here in Spring Hill. I grew up not too far in Plant City. We met at USF. And ended up going to law school together at Stetson. And once we got married, we moved back here to Spring Hill, and we've been here since about 2010.
Wonderful. And your family, so you have middle schooler for the first time and a baby right now.
Yes, yes.
So you're dealing with both sides there.
That's right. Diapers and drama.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? It's great. Great kids, great family. I'm privileged to know you all, and so many are as well. You're wonderful family. So you guys are here in Spring Hill. You've been here since what year again?
2010.
Awesome. So since you've been here, obviously you've had your firm, you've had that started, but what are some other things that you like to do outside of the work and the busyness of family?
Yeah, so when we were living in Riverview, Plant City, Tampa area, there was a church we went to, Bell Shoals Baptist Church. And so when we moved over here, we were kind of going back and forth. It's a bit of a drive, hour, 15 minutes or so. And can't really continue to stay plugged into the community around. And so we found Northcliffe Baptist Church here, Northcliffe Church. And we've been attending there since, I think, January of 2011. Certainly, you know, spend a lot of time there, teaching life group or Sunday school type of a class, sometimes some CLDs, serving in some other capacities as well. So that's one of the things we do. Also, I like to play tennis. You've joined me.
Yeah, you're quite the player.
Some other folks that we play with. Golf, I don't play a whole lot of golf. Definitely, in doing some of these episodes, there are a lot of folks in our chapter who like to scuba dive and stuff like that. That's not me. I stay above the water. I do not like sharks or anything that's under the sea, so I stay out. But anyhow, yeah. So some tennis. You know, obviously spending a lot of time with the family, and you know, Seth actually Beckett and Seth played baseball together. And,
Beckett's my son.
Yeah, Beckett. Yeah, and so they're looking to hopefully start another season here very, very soon. So that's some of the stuff we're doing, and of course McKenna getting involved. I played the trumpet when I was younger. McKenna picked it up last year, and it looks like she's going to continue that this year as well. So. Anyway, the kids definitely keep us busy.
Yeah, well, you music, sports, church, got a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so I'll share this before we moved on. That's how I got to know you, was through Northcliffe.
That's right.
Chris is a wonderful, wonderful teacher of the Bible, so very privileged to be under your teaching. It's phenomenal. So moving forward a little bit, share a little bit now with us about your practice, your firm, and give us a little bit of update where you guys are right now.
Yeah, so just kind of go back a little bit. 2010, I mentioned we moved to Spring Hill at that time. In 2009, I actually opened up the law office of Christopher S. Chambers, and that did not last very long. Failed very, very badly, very quickly. And
let me pause you right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was in 2009.
2009, yeah.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I get the timeline. Sorry.
Yeah, and just going back a little bit further. So I was at USF from 99 to 03, and then at Stetson University College of Law, 03 to 07. from 07 to 09. I was actually looking at doing some other stuff. I worked in the post office for many years, so I continued there. I finally quit the post office to attempt to get into a franchise and with a family member, and that I just didn't like the business. And so I figured, well, I had this law degree, you know, I'd passed the bar.
Let's use it, right?
Let's give it a shot. So I opened up my office in 2009. That was in Brandon/Tampa. And, you know, opened up my little executive suites is what it was. And went in there. I had my little bitty name on the door and just figured people are going to find me. I'm an attorney now, and this is going to go. And it did not. So
it's part of it. Though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, part of the learning curve.
We'll probably get back to that in a minute. I mean, that's an important step.
Here's what I'd say for in a lot of different ways, for not just from a business standpoint, spiritually and many other ways. That failure definitely helped me grow significantly, and I'm glad it happened. It wasn't good. I didn't enjoy it while I was going through it, but looking back, definitely has been used for my good. And yeah. So, grateful for that. But anyhow, moving forward, we moved over here to Spring Hill, and there was a firm down in Port Richey, the law office of Pasitas, Moore, and Tetlow. And they were looking for an attorney to come in and do some Social Security disability work. I'd never done that before, but they were looking for somebody kind of with some ties to the community. I just moved to Spring Hill. Stephanie grew up here, did the interview, and you know, I was 15 minutes away from their office. And so I worked there from 2010 up until 2018. Now, back up a little bit, 2017, the senior partner wanted me to get involved with this organization I had never heard of called BNI, and I was very, very hesitant. Said, I don't know about that. I feel like I work quite a few hours as it is. I don't know that I want to add something to my schedule. He said, no, believe me, you want to do this. So I visited our chapter, Winning Edge, in 2017, maybe August or so, and thought, man, this is nuts. This is crazy. These people, way too high energy for 7:30 in the morning. I don't think this is something that I could be a part of. And so went back to the office, didn't say anything. And then the senior partner, George Pasita, said, hey, Drew, how'd you like it? And anyway, he said, listen, I want you to join now. And so put in an application, joined the chapter. Very, very shortly after joining, Keith Voiles actually introduced me to someone and with ties to some veterans. And anyway, that individual not only gave me his case, but then turned around and started passing me referrals right away. They were looking for an attorney to that they could use. They were using a guy up in Maryland, actually, at the time. And so just, again, right place, right time, man. Unbelievable. Again, I don't believe in coincidences. And it was pretty cool how that transpired. That immediately kind of showed me, wow, this is what I didn't have back in 2009 when I opened up law office of Christopher S. Chambers. Didn't have any way to you know.
So that 2009 experience thing comes back to play right now, because you're like, wow, I see the difference.
Yeah, big time.
So that was 17 that you joined BNI, right, and you're still with the previous practice in Portrait.
Yeah.
So when did you make the transition to your own practice?
So a lot of things that transpired from that point up until, January. But over the Christmas break, my wife and I made some decisions. You know, it's time. We had talked about it for a long time, and so we decided, all right, we're gonna take the leap, and so open up Chambers Law Firm. At that point in time, a few months later, that was in February. Technically, the date February 1. And then
February 1, 2018.
Yeah. Okay. And then by June 1st of 18, Stephanie stepped out from her firm as well. And here we are, man.
So is it fair to say that BNI was an integral part in you having your own firm?
It was gigantic. That was the piece that we were, you know, so nervous about in going out on our own. How are we going to get clients, you know?
Because that experience in 2009, you saw how hard it was.
Exactly. And, you know, the difference, 2009, you know, I had a baby at the time. On the way, and then now 2018 we had two children, right? And so definitely a lot to lose there. Just actually had been just given a raise, pretty sizable raise, and was offered some different things, which were really, really good. And again, I'm definitely pleased with what I was offered with the other firm, but again, there's nothing like working for yourself,
you know? So let's move a little bit now just to your practice, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Give us some areas of specialty or what you really focus on, because you mentioned some stuff about
Social Security.
Yeah. But what all does Chambers really focus on right now?
Yeah, so in 2010, I started representing disability claimants before the Social Security Administration. And so these are individuals who cannot work, individuals who are out there that can't work, adults, you know, over age 18, they can't work. And it's due to their conditions, whether it be, you know, physical conditions, mental health conditions, combination of both. I'm able to help them walk through that administrative process with the Social Security Administration.
And there's a lot of steps to that, correct?
Right, right. Yeah. File the application. If you get denied, file an appeal. If you get denied there,
so there's a massive benefit having someone that walk through you than just trying to do that on your own.
Right, right. And again, 2010, I'd never done that. And so, Law Office of Procedures, Warren Tetlow, you know, taught me how to do that. And again, forever grateful for that. About a year in, the biggest learning curve, I would say, in 2010 was the medical, you know, vernacular and learning, you know, all the medical terminology, because here I was never looked through medical records. And now that's what I'm doing day in and day out. And so in about 2011, you know, I'm looking over at the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Veterans Benefit Administration and thinking, you know, I wonder if we could help our veterans, you know. And so I asked, hey, would you mind if I started a section for representing veterans? And he said, sure, you know, do it. And
was there a good crossover then?
Yeah, definitely, because again, a lot of medical that was needed, and so I'd already kind of gone through that learning curve with the Social Security Administration, and so it definitely helped with the other. There's still a lot to learn with the VA, you know, it's a different process, but again, you know, now I've been doing that for, you know, a little over 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are the two primary areas that I do. So I represent disability claimants for the Social Security Administration, and then veterans before the Department of Veterans Affairs, making sure they're getting the benefits that they deserve for their service to our country.
So from that standpoint, you would say that they build off of each other. And I would say that the passion that you've shared, and I'm going to make this a comment then take it as a question. Mm-hmm. The passion you share is just really making sure people are taken care of. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now specifically with the veterans, if maybe our audience doesn't know, but your family has quite the history and tradition of having veterans a part of your family. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my dad served, you know, in the Army, I was actually able to help him get all the benefits that he deserved. And that was, you know, one of my intros into this. In fact, I was being able to help him do that. His father, so my grandfather, paternal and maternal grandfathers were both in the service. Uncles in the service, you know, Stephanie's family, grandfathers both in the service as well. And so we certainly have a healthy respect for our veterans. We certainly love what they have done for our country, what they continue to do for our country, and, you know, all the freedom that we're able to enjoy as a result of their sacrifice.
So would you say that that's where some of that passion came from, to make sure these heroes are taken care of?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to make sure that, you know, these individuals that put their life on the line for us get the benefits that they're entitled to, you know, week in, week out. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, with the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I would say this, they're getting better. The Department of Veterans Affairs has come a long way. Again, I started representing veterans before the Department of Veterans Affairs in 2011. And here we are now in 2020. And the process is, 100 times better, maybe 1,000 times better. Yeah,
that's encouraging.
They're doing a much better job. You know, I have veterans that come in all the time, and they're just absolutely frustrated, sick and tired of it. They're on the verge of giving up. You know, I'm just never going to get these benefits. And the truth is, you know, there's three pieces of evidence we have to show the VA. Number one, that they have a current diagnosis. Number two, there's an in-service event that led to that diagnosis. Number three, there's a medical nexus linking those two things together. And the vast majority of the time, they're missing one of those pieces. Most of the time, I'm able to help them find that additional missing piece. And if we can do that, then they'll get the benefits that they're entitled to.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. So in essence, in everyday terms, you're taking care of those who are taking care of us.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
That's what I try to do. That's what we try to do for sure.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. So you've shared a little bit about B&I, but let's go back there for a little bit, mm-hmm. because, you know, that's kind of the focus of this podcast to some extent, B&I. And you've talked about how important it's been for you. Let me, you've shared a little bit of when you joined, but go through a little bit again of that first experience of like, I don't know, because I think we've all experienced that.
Yeah.
We're, you know, we've been a part of networking and all these different things. What was the moment that you kind of flipped in your own mind that like, wait a second, this isn't just something I should, or this isn't just something to put on my calendar. This is something I should really do for the benefit of my business.
Yeah. So, you know, getting up and getting ready for an in-person meeting with a lot of high energy individuals, and I'm not a morning person. And so just getting over that hump of saying, this is something that I absolutely have to be engaged with and I got to figure it out. I would say that the moment when Keith Voiles, after one of our meetings, came over to me, he's Southern Charm Building and Construction. And he said, hey, listen, I did some building for, a local veterans organization. I'd like to introduce you to their commander. And he said, you got some time right now? And I said, absolutely, let's go. And he sat down with me for about an hour with this individual. And when that super like warm introduction,
Sat down an hour.
Maybe a little more than an hour. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah. yeah. To make that introduction, so that I felt comfortable, so that the individual he was introducing me to felt comfortable. When that happened, that it clicked in my head, said, man, this is an unbelievable organization.
So relate that back to 2009, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. You didn't have someone making those kind of introductions for you. And now you do. And so the payoff was what? Okay, I gotta get up for this meeting.
Yeah.
But I mean, once you see that, you're like, that's a wonderful payoff for
yes,
this, correct?
Absolutely. No, it's a no-brainer. And again, I point back to George Pasitas, who told me, listen,
yeah.
the senior partner of the former firm I was with, he said, listen, this is gonna be for you, man. They're gonna get to know you, right? They're not gonna get to know me. They're gonna get to know you personally. I don't know that the intent was ever that, that he was kind of, pushing me out the door, pushing me out the nest, so to speak. but that's what ended up happening. Yeah, no, forever grateful to him. And certainly, B and I continue to pay dividends year after year.
So B and I is obviously a great networking group. I think you and I both have experienced the benefit of that. You're explaining that so well. But let's switch just a little bit. Have you had other networking groups, and are you a part of any of those? And maybe share quickly a little bit about some of those. Because, I mean, we're not here saying that, hey, BNI is everything. There's other people to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, you have organizations like, the Chamber of Commerce, certainly, get together on a regular, ongoing basis. You have, other service organizations like the Rotary and some other Kiwanis and things like that that I have, had some relationship with. What sets BNI apart from those other organizations is BNI doesn't hide the ball. We're here to do one thing, and that is to pass each other referrals, right? We're here to get to know one another. We're here to build these relationships. And again, there's a lot of secondary benefits from BNI. You get friendships that come out of that, you become a better practitioner of whatever it is that you do, because now you have professionals that you can refer your clients to, your customers to.
That's what I want to hit on next, because I've heard a lot with other BNI members that they didn't realize all the secondary benefits of friendship. And that's great. Yeah. And I don't want to downplay any of that. But let's hit on what you just said there. There's a huge benefit just how you get better because you're in BNI.
Yeah.
Can you give us maybe some specifics for your own self and how maybe that would relate to other people?
Yeah, I would say, one thing is just speaking, right? One thing you do at BNI every single week is you're gonna
be ready to do that presentation.
Yep, you got at least a 30, 45 second moment where you're going to stand up in front of your group and you need to be able to convey to them what it is that you do. What it is that you're looking for, what kind of referrals you're looking for, who it is that you can help, and how you can help those individuals. And again, you have to do it in a very concise moment of time. So
that's key.
Yeah, it requires preparation. You can't, if you get there and try to wing it, again, you're not going to get in what you need to get in. So I would say one of the things is you become a better speaker. You also, the training that comes with BNI, all the education that you're able to get. And again, there's so much, very, very detailed from the podcast that Dr. Ivan Meisner puts out to the E-squared trainings, with the feature presentations, one-to-ones, and all those kind of things, just kind of how to think differently. I think that's one of the things that my wife and I have spoken about. Prior to 2017, there was a portion of my brain that was just off. Right? I wasn't using it, right? And BNI kind of turned that switch on, and now suddenly I'm using a portion of my brain that I didn't even know was there, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat when you...
I like what you said there, because it seems that you go into these things with certain ideas or whatnot, but then you start to realize, holy cow, I didn't know this or this or this part. And I've seen that in my own self. So with that turning on of your brain, if you will, can you kind of relate a little bit, like, man, I didn't realize I could fill in the blank, do this or say this or figure this out. Is there something that you could relate even more specific there?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I'm thinking networking, right, what I'm thinking there is there's a bunch of individuals and they're all looking for the same thing, referrals for themselves. I didn't consider the fact that you're actually going to have genuine relationships, right? Where you really are going to get to know, like and trust individuals, and in doing so, you're truly going to have a desire to help other people. So it's not just I'm all in it for myself, and so there's always that in the back of your mind, like, why are we even doing this? Oh, I know why, because you have this secondary motivation or primary motivation of you want something from me or you're trying to sell to me. That's not what you do to BNI, right? With BNI, you sell through BNI. You have other referral partners that go out and help you find your target audience, whoever that is.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. Very good. Very good. So let's switch just a little bit here for a moment, and let's talk about the membership committee. Mm-hmm. What is the membership committee?
Yeah. So the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to serve on the membership committee. I've done the same role, and that is the reviews, the annual reviews. So what I've had the opportunity to do over the last couple of years is meet with every single member in our chapter for the purpose of going through their number for the last 12 months and talking to them, making sure everybody knows, hey, this is where your numbers stand. That would be, and that's one thing that we do in BNI. We always measure everything we do, right? We measure, and by measuring, the hope is that those things are going to get done. We hold each other accountable as well. And so that was my primary role the last couple of years is to hold everybody accountable, right? Making sure that, hey, we want two referrals passed each week. We want two one-to-ones done each week. We want two, CEUs. We're constantly learning and teaching ourselves. And then we also want to measure the thank you for closed business. Here are the referrals you passed, and here's what it's turned into as far as actual dollars, to your fellow members. And so that's been my role is doing that. The other roles include applications. So we have somebody who gets the application, processes the application, helps to vet the members. I was just having a meeting actually earlier today with an individual, talking about this idea of you got to be really, really careful when we're going through that process of vetting individuals to make sure that we're letting in quality or bringing in quality referral partners.
Suffice it to say, the membership committee is it's a gateway. It's the gatekeeper, yeah, if you will, of like making sure we do what we're supposed to do, and people that are coming, yeah, in are going to do what they're supposed to do. Is, yeah, that a fair,
yeah,
way to suffice?
Absolutely. And again, you have the annual review. You have the person who does reviews. You have the applications. You also have member engagement. Attendance, and then the last one is like issues and concerns. They have different names.
But again, focusing all around, hey, we're going to be focused on this is what we're here to do.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
And they meet once a month. We meet at least once a month. Potentially, there's times we have to meet more often than that if there's some issue that we need to take care of. But yes. By and large, that's what's done there.
So with that, why would a member? If you're coming in, maybe, yeah, you're newer, you're joining, you've been in for a little bit, why would a member want to be a part of this committee or this group?
Yeah, so I would say certainly it's something some individuals would be ready to jump in, right away, and some like myself back in 2017. Again, just the meeting itself was kind of a bit overwhelming for me. So then to think, okay, now you're going to kind of peek behind the curtain and see what actually how everything is run. I don't know that I would have been ready for that in 2017. So I think everybody's going to be ready at a different time for that. But why would a member want to serve on that? It's been invaluable for me to be able to, go through this process. Again, you learn even from a business standpoint, we learn some skills that you're going to need in business,
And I think that's the key for any of these things is that if you come at it with the mentality of like, what's this going to do for me?
Yeah.
It's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
When you go at it like, hey, I'm serving others,
yeah,
and I'm helping this,
right,
chapter, then you realize not only am I helping them, but it does end up helping me.
Yeah.
So I would say that giver's game motto is part of that as well.
100%. Yep.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit more now about your business and, mm-hmm, some wonderful ways that other BNI members can really help you. So we refer to that as referrals. That's our lingo there. So what are some ideal clients and who would you like for us to be looking out for?
Yeah. So I'll let me give you just a couple examples of some clients that we've been able to help here at Chambers Law Firm here over the last, couple of years. Let's see. Had an individual here recently, unable to work. I think he came to us with a 70% rating overall. He's unable to work. Now here's key. The VA says, right, the law says, if a veteran cannot work because of his or her service-connected conditions, then the VA must pay them at the 100% rate, right? So if you have an if you have a veteran out there who is struggling to work, and again, I have veterans right out of the service that have been in combat, right? They've been overseas, they've been deployed, and they're having a really, really difficult time adapting, right, back into civilian life, and they go from one job to another. That would be somebody that I'd love the opportunity to talk to, just to help them get back, you know, during this period of adapting back, help them get the benefits that they need in order to fully kind of get back into civilian life. So that's one. But that's also, you know, older veterans, right? Now I have veterans come to me sometimes and they say, well, I've retired, you know, a few years ago. And so I don't qualify for that. Well, yes, maybe no. If a veteran cannot work right today, and it's because of his or her service connected conditions, they're entitled to be paid at the 100% rate. So anyone, any veteran who currently is not working is somebody that absolutely I probably can help. Additionally, then a second one that I'd share with you, we had a veteran come to us back in April. 20% rating, felt like he was entitled to a higher percentage. I went through, reviewed his whole file, just got a decision a couple weeks ago. He's at 90% now. And just to give you an idea of what that looks like, at 20%, he was getting about $250 a month. Right now, with the 90%, he's getting over $1,800 per month. And just so you know, the 100% I was talking about a moment ago, for a single veteran, it's over $3,100 a month. For a married veteran, it'd be over $3,200 a month. If there's children involved, it's even more than that. So we're talking about significant benefits.
That's life-changing.
Yes, and they're entitled to it. They earned it.
Yes,
they deserve
that's
it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the, they've served, yeah. and you're just trying to serve them, help them. That's phenomenal. So veterans that are not working, that's the key thing.
That's fantastic.
And then give me one word again for that second one.
If you're unhappy, if a veteran is unhappy with their current rating, yeah, just one more real quick. If mental health, you know, mental health conditions, whether it be PTSD, you know, depression, anxiety, again, we want to make sure that those veterans are getting the benefits they need, not only monetarily, but also the treatment that they need, because they are entitled to get treated with the VA for free. So
veterans that are not working, veterans that are not happy with their current rating, and veterans that are dealing with any kind of psychological or any of those other types of elements. Correct. Because of that. Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. What's a great way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, our website, chamberslaw.com, would be a good way. Just Google us. That would be fine as well. If you wanted to give us a call, 352-515-9464 is our phone number. You can send me an email. It's chris@chamberslaw.com. And I'll even give you my my cell phone if you want to send me a text, 813-766-1173. Any of those things are fine.
In the comment section of this, when we post this, can we put some of that detail out?
Sure.
Wonderful, because we'll have that out. And wonderful way for people to get a hold of you. So we're going to wrap up here, but before we do that, we're going to do something fun. We're going to do some rapid fire, and the key thing is rapid. So let's make sure we, you know, try to go as quick as can, because we want to get this, you know, the good information out there.
Right.
Best book that you've had, that you've read, business, networking, or otherwise?
Yeah, and so I'm going to limit this to kind of business networking model. Profit First. Profit First. It was by Mike Michalowicz. I tell you why Profit First. The reason that was significant for me, when I read this a couple of years ago, and I was trying to figure out, all right, with business, how in the world do I make sure I have my taxes set aside? How do I make sure I have enough for the, you know, owner compensation, all those things? It basically broke it down into five little things. So I have five different business accounts that I use, right? I have the profit, so right off the top, taking whatever comes in, I'm putting that in aside. Taxes, putting that right aside. Like David Hand mentioned from our group, actually, we have owner compensation. We have obviously the operating expenses, right? And then we have another account for income. So that's where everything comes initially, and then I separate it into those other accounts. Again, just from it helped me mentally know where I'm at, and I can quickly take a look. All right, here's where we are.
Phenomenal. Profit First.
Profit First.
Wonderful. Most important networking trait that you have learned, gained, believe in?
Yeah, I would say this: be real, right? Be genuine, be authentic, right? Be yourself, right? Don't be fake. Don't be who you think others want you to be. Be who you are. And I think you're gonna do well if you do those things. So.
That's so true. Yeah. Be real. Yeah. All right, if you could go back and talk to your younger self.
Yeah.
What is one networking secret that you wish you would have known when you started?
B&I, man.
I think that's kind of been through this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had known about B&I in 2009, I have no doubt that I would have succeeded. Like I said, I needed that failure personally,
sure.
So I'm glad I went through it. But
still,
but B&I. Yep.
Yeah. What is one business tip that you wish you would have known sooner?
Yeah. One other thing, going back to 2009, is I took every single case that came in the door. So you'd have a divorce one day, you have a child custody issue the next, you have an estate planning issue, a probate issue, you had a Social Security case, you'd have somebody wants to take their property and change it from residential to commercial, and I'm taking all of those things. That's a miserable way to live. For me, it wasn't good. So find a niche, right? Yep. Find a niche, specialize. Find a specialty,
yep.
Specialize, man, life's a whole lot easier that way.
Wonderful. Yep. Good tip. Yep. What is the most profound piece of advice you wish you had known sooner about life in general?
Yeah, so two things here. Life in general, I am a sinner and I'm in need of a savior, right? That's number one. So that goes for everybody. Life in general, I am a sinner in need of a savior. The sooner we can learn that, the better we will be. But the second thing is this, find ways to help other people, right? In as many ways as you can. I went to open house with my daughter here last week, and one of her teachers had this on the wall, and I thought it was really good. It says this: if you want to be happy for an hour, go watch television, right? So if you want to be happy for a day, go to a theme park, right? Go to an amusement park. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, go out and help other people. So I'd say that. Go out, make sure you're helping as many people as you can. Find ways to help others.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Well, Chris, thank you so much. I think you did a phenomenal job. And we're excited for all the ways that BNI has helped you, and excited how this can help other people. So thank you so much, Chris, for being with us today.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking.